Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy Father, amid all of the cares and concerns of this world, we ask for your presence. Be with us. Hold us in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been a lot of studies done over the last few decades why people seem to be losing their religion. This past week, I think I discovered what that is. I'm pretty sure people are losing their religions because they have to follow directions that come with things that you're supposed to put together yourself. That was a joke, y'all. There you go. All right. So this past week, I had the pleasure of hanging curtains in my home. My wife's been very excited about these curtains. They came last Saturday, but the curtain rods didn't show up until Tuesday, so they couldn't be hung until then. But I had Bible study Tuesday night, so I promised that I would hang one set. No problem. So we get the curtains out, and they're nice. And so then we take the first set of curtain rods out. And in this long box, here's what was in there. The brackets. They had all the screws and things like that. They had the two rods, and then a sheet of paper that was supposed to be the directions. The directions told me how to put the bracket onto the wall. Personally, I thought that was pretty clear. There's two holes in this thing and six screws for the three brackets. So yeah, okay, got it, no problem. What they did not include, however, was how to put the rod together. It's in two different pieces, one of them containing the extender that goes in the middle. And they got these little white things in the end, these plugs, I guess. Maybe it was to keep them from sliding in shipping. Maybe they were supposed to be part of the attachment process. We didn't know. You got no idea. I mean, now, I think I'm a pretty intelligent person. You know, I've got a college degree, a master's degree. My wife does, too. You would think that the two of us together could figure out how to stick poles together, but no. I mean, it was impossible. I mean, and so, finally, we figured something out. We hung the curtains. No problem. You know, it wasn't too enraging, but yesterday was the first day that I got a chance to be able to hang the rest of them. And so we were hanging the second set, and this window was wider, and so we needed more of the extender. And so we realized that one end actually has a little thing on it, and it would grab the extender so it wouldn't like slide quite as easily. What do you know? That was the way that they were supposed to go together. Would have been helpful for somebody, to write that down somewhere. I mean, we went online, but I guess they figured nobody's dumb enough to not know how to put together curtain rods. That would be me, okay? And so not only did we have to put up the other two sets, we had to take the other one down and make it correct. I mean, who writes these directions? They need to, okay, it's got to go to Congress. Congress talks about a lot of dumb things. There needs to be some laws about directions because, first of all, they need to be in the language of the people that are putting it together. Something in Chinese, not helpful for me. I mean, it's a beautiful language. I don't know what it says. And whoever translates it, if that's necessary, into the language of the person putting it together needs to be able to speak the language. Because sometimes things don't translate very well. I found out that in one set of instructions, it literally says, do not touch, keep out of reach of incompetent people like children and pregnant women. That'll get you canceled. I mean, just say it. That's not helpful. Oh, and then you ever come across the directions that have like the diagram of the entire whatever you're putting together, and it doesn't say anything. It just has a bunch of lines pointing to where the screws are supposed to go in this 3D picture. Yeah, that's so very helpful. Oh, and how about the ones that come with like 15 different types of screws? And you're supposed to somehow, use mental telepathy to figure out which screw is which. Just because you call it screw A does not mean I know what screw A is. I'm sure it's very clear to you when you're putting it together in the factory, it's not to anybody else. And so it's the most frustrating thing in the world to try to follow directions, isn't it? But even when we do have good directions, and I'm sure they exist. I mean, like if any of you write directions for a living, I'm sure yours are wonderful. But do we actually follow the directions we're given anyway? I mean, I am certain that at least somebody in here opens up the packaging to put something together, doesn't even look at the directions, they just start building it themselves. Anyone? Or how many of you, this did happen to me when I was in school, the teacher thought they'd be real smart and give a test that says, before you start this, read every question. And so that's what the directions say. And so me being me and most of the class, well, you just start at number one, you start answering, and then you get to the bottom and it says, do not answer any of the questions, only write your name on the paper and turn it in. Well, I told you to follow directions. I mean, directions are hard to follow, but even when we have them, we often don't. I mean, people say that the Bible is like God's guide to life. Because it would be nice if we could have a step-by-step guide to how we're supposed to do things, right? I mean, like, for instance, when my people come in for premarital counseling, here's a step-by-step guide to marriage. Number one, be nice to each other. Number two, forgive. Number three, repeat. You know, that would be helpful. You know, step-by-step guide on how to raise children. Number one, don't shake the child. You know, things like that. But we don't have those step-by-step guides of life, do we? So we rely on the Bible, and sometimes the directions are pretty clear, and sometimes they're not. But I think our second lesson makes it very clear. Very, very clear. The second lesson says, and I quote, that's the gospel. The second lesson says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. There you go. You want to follow directions? Number one, love one another. That covers it all. Love one another. True words have never been spoken. You want step-by-step on how to be a Christian, on how to live your life? Love one another. But we are knocking that one out of the park, aren't we? Yep. We live in a very Christian part of the world, don't we? Very Christian part of the country. And can't you tell when you drive down the road how Christian everybody is? I mean, they certainly have it on their cars anyway. But, you know, just the other day, I was going to Bible study right here on Charter Oak. If you don't know, this is Pisgah Church Road. And at the stoplight, for some reason, they decided to change the name of the road to Charter Oak. It's right there. And we go to Crafty Draft, which is on Charter Oak. So I'm driving down the road, go through the stoplight, went from Pisgah Church Road to Charter Oak. And right there at the beginning of Crafty Draft, it starts into a turn lane. You know what I mean? It's not a full turn lane there. It just starts into one. And so I move over to the left to get into that semi-turn lane. And coming, barreling down, laying on the guy's horn is this truck. Because he was furious that I had the audacity to want to turn when he needed to go straight. Really, dude? Love one another. Rule number one. Then, just yesterday, the four-way stop at Hendricks Street. You've probably all been there. You may not know the name of the street. It's near the soccer fields. So I get there, and the guy across from me goes straight. The people at my left, the people at my right, they go straight, right across. Whose turn is it? It's my turn. But when I started going, the guy across from me was irate that how dare I go before he did. Love one another. Follow the directions. But to be fair, it's not always an easy direction to follow, is it? Sometimes it's like it's a foreign language. Sometimes it is extremely difficult to follow that direction. Because sometimes people do things, make it tough to love. Sometimes we bump heads, and sometimes someone's brokenness cuts us. There's conflict, you know? But oddly enough, this is probably the clearest step-by-step instructions in all the Bible, is what we found in today's gospel reading. How to deal with conflict by Jesus Christ. Let me review it for you. Now, I will tell you that step one, the most important step, the absolute most important step, it says, if a member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. So let me review step one. If someone sins against you, if someone does something that hurts you, if someone makes you mad, you go to A, everyone in the world except that person, B, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, or C, that person. The answer is C. You go to that person. This has been in the Bible for a long time, folks, but somehow we have completely overlooked Matthew 18. Step one, if somebody does something to you, you go to that person. That person. Not your best friend. Not everybody else. Not their best friend. You go to that person. Any of you in an HOA right now, live in a community with an HOA? Any of those HOAs have a Facebook page? If you want to see the ugliest thing and the prime example of how not to treat a neighbor, go to an HOA Facebook page, because, oh my goodness, these are your next door neighbors. And rather than just going over there and saying, hey, would you mind if you didn't let your dog poop in my yard? That'd be great. No, let me take pictures and put it on Facebook so the entire community can yell at you. That's kind. That's how we show love. No, my friends, you go to that person. Because here's the reality. I would say at least half of the time when somebody hurts you, they don't realize that they've hurt you. And if it was brought to their attention, there's also a good chance that he or she would say, wow, I'm really sorry. And you know what that does to your anger? Because the truth is, that's how you reconcile something. When you go to that person and they hear you and they understand you, a lot of times it stops right there. You haven't lost a friend. You haven't ended a relationship. In fact, you probably strengthened it. Because a lot of people do is need a chance to say, I'm sorry. But we don't give it to them. We would rather tell on them and blow up the world, make sure that everybody knows what a horrible person that is, than just letting them say, I'm sorry. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes they do not agree. Sometimes they are oblivious and refuse to listen to the fact that you were hurt. Which brings us to step number two. If that's the case, then you bring one or two people with you. Now it's important to know why. You are not bringing an army. You are not bringing your fan club. You are not bringing support for you. You're bringing witnesses to hear what's said. I can't tell you how many times I've done marriage counseling when you'll have a husband and wife and they're just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And as a third party, I'm sitting there listening and going, they're kind of arguing the same point in different ways. They actually agree with each other, but they're talking past each other. Have you ever done that with somebody? When all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait. We're actually saying the same thing, just differently. That's the purpose of a third party. Well, one of the purposes. The other one is, if the person refuses to listen still, then you have two or three sets of ears that can come back and say, this is what happened, this is what we heard. It's not there. You're not hosting an intervention. You're just trying to bring peace. That's the point of this process. And if none of that works, because this is addressed to members of the church, it says bring it before the church. And if the person still won't repent, then treat that person as a Gentile or a tax collector. Sometimes it's best to just cut things off. But here's the interesting thing about Gentiles and tax collectors according to Jesus. Seems like Matthew was a tax collector, wasn't he? Seems like Jesus loved Gentiles, didn't he? So you would treat them still with love, which is the primary direction of our faith. Because you see, friends, it all begins and ends with love. God's love for us and our love for God, one another, and ourselves. It's all about love. Because sometimes that love can be hard. And when that happens, we have the step-by-step method to deal with that. But in the midst of it all, God is always present. The passage ends, where two or three are gathered, I am there in their midst. Now, usually when we hear that verse, what do we think about? Worship. But that's actually not what this is about. This is about conflict. When two or three are gathered in Christ's name, God's there. When conflict is difficult for us to figure out, God is there. When people are hard to love, God is still there. And so, my friends, follow the directions. They're not hard. Love one another. And when that's hard and somebody's hurt you, you go to who? That person. And if that doesn't work, you bring two people to listen. And if that still doesn't work, then you bring it to the whole church. But in the midst of every step, 1, 2, 3, and 4, always love and always know that God is there. Life can be hard, and it would be great to have a set of directions. But when all else fails, just love one another. Amen.